You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast. This is where we interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so very excited that you've joined me. I am your host, by digital marketing and branding strategist, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find this self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. Today on the show, we have a very special guest, Wendy Alpine. Wendy is president of Alpine Communications, a leading Atlanta PR firm. Alpine specializes in building brand awareness and name recognition for companies and organizations in healthcare, technology, HR, and manufacturing. Welcome, Wendy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shantha. Happy to be here.
Awesome. We are so happy to have you. We were just chatting earlier about the pre-interview that you have made a move to Jasper, Georgia, which is absolutely gorgeous. If our listeners have never been up through the North Georgia mountains, you are missing out. How has that move been?
Oh, it's been great. It's very beautiful here. It's on the lake, and it's really kind of peaceful, and it, you know, you kind of get away from the hustle and bustle of the Atlanta traffic. So it kind of puts you in a whole different kind of like zen mood. You know, you really can't get stressed out, and it just helps you think more clearly, I think, when you're, you know, sitting here and you have the lake view. So I'm really loving it.
Awesome. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh,
I
good.
I can hear that you haven't sat in Atlanta traffic this morning, so you definitely sound zen.
That's right.
So I wanted to have you on because I know that you are a public relations expert, and PR is definitely something that you have been doing. And I know a lot of small business owners have an interest in PR, but may be a little overwhelmed or may not have the knowledge about it that's needed in order to move forward with PR. So I want to start off by, you know, talking about your background and, you know, how you got started in public relations. Was this a something you took up in college, or was this a career change, or how did you get started in PR?
Okay, thanks, Shantha. So this wasn't a direct, I didn't study this in college. It wasn't a direct course of study for myself. I actually was a French major because I had been taking French for many years, and I just kind of fell in love with the language and the culture and the food. And so I had wanted to, you know, just be fluent in another language. So I studied French, but at the same time, I also studied journalism because I kind of grew up in the newspaper business. My dad was on the financial side of a newspaper based in New York, and he used to take us to the office on Saturdays, and we would, you know, play with the adding machines and then also go see how the presses are running and talk to some of the reporters. And so I guess I kind of had it in my blood, and I decided that, you know, when I finished college, even though I was this French major, I was like, I know one day it will come in handy. You know, I decided to pursue journalism, and I went into the newspaper business as a reporter. So I did that for several years and then transitioned into public relations by working at a university in their communications office. And that was at a university in New York, and we represented the different professors and the research they were working on, everything from, you know, it was some arts and literature, and then I transitioned into more of the health sciences area, did work on medicine and different surgeries and things like that. So it was So it was kind of really interesting, and that's kind of how I made my transition. It was kind of smooth in a sense because a lot of reporters transition to PR that way. And actually, that's how I got hired, because the person who was hiring me actually had also been in the newspaper business, and she said, oh, I want somebody who has a similar background, because usually you know how to tell what a good story is, you know how to write, and you have good, interpersonal skills that really help in promotion. So that's awesome. How I got started, and I've been doing it for about 30 years now. And I really feel like my journalism background helps my PR service. Again, just because I used to be a reporter, so I can put myself in the reporter's shoes when I'm helping clients and trying to see what would be of interest to a reporter to cover a story.
Yeah, so I think that's why a lot of people are confused about what PR is, because it does intersect. It intersects with the media, and it also intersects with writing and journalism. Can you give us a good definition, or maybe some elements of exactly what public relations is, especially when it relates to a business?
Okay, sure. Well, public relations is defined by the Public Relations Society of America, which is my professional organization, is a strategic communications process that builds mutually beneficial relationships between organizations and their publics. So that's kind of a little bit, a broad definition. But basically, PR can be used to protect, enhance, or build reputations through the media, social media, or through self-produced communications. And it's really about, building and protecting a brand, getting the word out, increasing credibility. One of my colleagues had said, you're in the credibility business. It's all about gaining or building credibility for a business, whether someone's heard of them or not, whether it's a household name or not. And it's not just one thing. Sometimes it's hard to describe. It's not like, a firefighter or a police officer. It's very clear what they do, but it's hard to describe public relations. A lot of people think it's advertising or it's giving away products, and it really isn't about that. It's really more about shaping an image, to generate positive publicity for a client and, like I said, enhance their reputation. Keep the public informed about activities of whether it be a government agency or a corporation, explain policy. So it could also be used in political campaigns. So it really, it's all about image and credibility. That's what I kind of think is the easiest way to look at it.
And I know with all types of marketing, my end of marketing in terms of branding and digital marketing, mm-hmm. A target audience, a target market, it's really the pinnacle. It's the focus point of a lot of marketing strategies. Any marketing strategy, you should have your target audience or your target market in mind. In regards to public relations, how does your target audience impact your efforts?
Oh, that's key, Shanta. That's one of the first questions that we ask clients is, who is your target market? Who are you trying to reach? Because if you don't know who you're trying to reach, then you're just using like a scattershot approach. And some people think, oh, I want to be in the Wall Street Journal. I want to be in the New York Times. But that may not be the best target audience for you. So, for example, I'll just give right now I'm working with a company that's a third-party service provider in the food safety business. And really their target market is the companies that are actually manufacturing food or in the retail part of food, and they want to target industry trade publications. So we've been doing a lot of PR within their industry trade publications, and there's so many opportunities there because there's so many different publications that we're really getting great publicity for them. But we're targeting our message, but we have our target market. We know the publications that their target market reads. And so they're not really, if there was a positive story in the New York Times or Wall Street Journal, but that's not really what they're looking for right now. They're looking really to expand and inform readers about their food safety processes. So that's really important. So there's, you know, there's a trade target market, there can be a consumer target market. It really just depends on, you know, if a company is, say, B2B, business to business, and they sell their goods and services to other businesses versus if they sell to direct to the consumer.
Oh, okay. That totally makes sense. Now, when it comes to small business owners, would you say everyone needs a PR strategy, even, you know, if you're just starting out, from being in business a couple years to an established larger business? Would you say all of the spectrum of business owners need a PR strategy, or would you say that a PR strategy should be implemented at a certain stage or size of an organization?
Right. So I do think it's more at a certain stage and size of an organization, because public relations is, once you engage in a public relations program, you're saying, you know, the information or about my company or what I'm doing or the products and services are going to be public, whether that's, you know, B2B public or consumer public. So you have to be prepared to realize that once you put something out there, you know, it's no longer what they call stealth, you know. So you're going to have folks, you know, reading about you, asking questions, and relying on the information. So you need to be prepared. So, you know, we also work with startups, and, you know, a lot of times they're not ready for PR because, one, they don't have any customers yet. And it's really difficult because a lot of times the media really want to hear from the customers, not just the company. They're, like, they call that the vendor. They want to hear from actual how the customer's benefiting from the company's products and services. So, you know, you don't really want to start out. I mean, you could be thinking about the strategy and, like you say, the target market and what kinds of things you want to promote. But you really have to have, you know, your product and service kind of nailed down. It has to be, you know, available to folks. It really just depends what you're doing. But there's no, like, set time, like a year in or whatever. It's really more when, you know, I always say, you know, if you have a few customers and you have some, you could talk to the customers and get the, you know, the benefits of the product, some testimonials, that would be good. And you want to train, you know, whoever is, again, with PR, since it's so outward facing, you want to make sure that you designated a spokesperson and what they're going to say. They have to understand the messages. So there's a lot to it before you go out and just talk about the company. You want to do a lot of, you know, internal PR first.
Okay. Now, can we talk about that coveted media exposure? We all want it. We all see it. I see it all the time where even in my industry, not really having a tangible product but maybe selling intellectual property, a lot of thought leaders end up getting media space, maybe a little spot on the local news or a highlight in the you know, newspaper publication. So tell us about the process. What are some benefits of the media exposure, and how can we get established? How can we grow media relationships and get ourselves in the media? What's that process? What does that look like?
Right. Well, again, if you want to be in the media, it's all about, you know, news, right? And so there are basically two ways to make news. You know, you can either create a story or follow a story. And, you know, like you said before, people want that credibility and they want to be either on the front page of the New York Times or whatever, WSB-TV here in Atlanta. But you really have to, again, put yourself in the shoes of the reporter, and they're going to want to know what's in it for me and my audience. You know, what's the story? Why should I care? And why should I care now? And that's especially true if you are wanting to get your story out to more of the consumer media, like the newspapers, TV, magazines, even social. You want to always be thinking about, is it new? Is it unusual? Is there a human interest angle to what I'm doing or what I'm selling? So So it definitely has to have some kind of news element, and especially for the more the lay media, the human interest angle is really important. So that's one thing, you know. So the other way is how can you insert yourself as part of the story, maybe creating your own story. And that's all about, you know, storytelling. And again, you know, the media wants something new, a new car, a new app, a new market, a new CEO. But there are other ways to kind of, quote, make news. And like you just touched on it before, Shantha, about being a thought leader. So that's a great way to insert yourself into the news. You can write an op-ed piece. You could write an editorial. You can maybe write a contributed article about your expertise in a market that, in a target market, whether that's, you know, if you're doing digital media, that could be anything. I mean, there's tons of publications that would want that kind of information. And if you can offer, a lot of times they want, like, news you can use. So tips, we've all seen the listicles, you know, 7 top tips for this, you know, 10 ways to do that. So if you can make your news very practical, you're more likely to get it published. Additionally, you mentioned about social media. There's so many opportunities with social because today everybody can be their own publisher. You can set up, you know, your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you want to use. You know, you control what you want to put out there. And so you can do this through blog posts and tweets and photos of what's going on at your, whether it's at your company or meetings you attend or people you meet. Videos. There's so much today that we didn't have before where you can be, you know, your own publisher. You don't have to wait to get coverage. You could generate the coverage.
Has the advent of social media, as you mentioned, changed PR over the years? You say, know that you've been doing PR for 30 years. I know that the digital revolution has really taken over every industry. How has it impacted PR?
It's impacted PR a lot. You know, people, a lot of times they'll ask me, you know, they'll say, you know, when I say public relations, you know, they'll say, do you do social media? And, you know, social media is a tool that can be used. There's so much more to public relations, like we touched on earlier, about who's your target market, what is your message, you know, are you prepared with internal PR, like frequently asked questions. You need media training, but you know. So with PR, I look at social media as more of a tool to get the message out. So you might use, you know, work with the traditional media through pitching stories or press releases, and then you're going to publicize that through social media. Or you might use social media to do like a campaign, a contest. But it's definitely here to stay, and it's definitely important. I'd say that the B2B market is a little bit slower to adopt social media. Like, we have one client that we've been working with for 18 years, and believe it or not, we're just now trying to get them to use, like, Facebook and things like that. They've used it in the past, but they have a hard time sustaining it, and you know, because their brand has been around for a long time, they just are real careful about what they want to put out there. So, you know, I find that companies still come to us for traditional media, but then they also want that social media element to amplify their message.
Absolutely. And can we go into the different types of content? Own content, from own content to paid content. Can you explain the elements of those things and the benefits as well of each?
Sure. Well, like you said, there's you know, paid, earned, and owned. So paid content is basically advertising. Advertising is great. You know, it depends on what it is, but it could be low cost. Like, if you want to do Facebook advertising, you can set a budget, and that's probably the least expensive route to go. Or you can spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on TV ads and other things like that. It really depends on your budget. The good thing about paid media is that you get to control the message. So whatever you want to say, you can say it in that ad. It's usually it's very visual. You have, again, the creative control, depending on how much of it you buy. So it could either be like a one-time thing for an ad, or if you're buying, say, a campaign, it's several times over months and that type of thing. So that's advertising. Public relations is more earned media, and that's about more about building trust and having third-party validation. There's no guarantee with PR. That's the thing that sometimes is frustrating. You know, people want public relations, and they say, well, what am I going to get from this? And a lot of times it's hard to guarantee you're going to get X number of placements or X number of messages conveyed. You know, the way you increase your odds is you're having all the ingredients for a good PR story, like we said before, like something newsworthy, a spokesperson that's been media trained, something new or, you know, different that's going to stand out. So those things could increase your chances for getting good PR. But again, is no guarantee. The media controls the final version, and that's just how it is. But on the other hand, it could live longer than advertising, because if you get a story in a publication and then it goes online, it becomes searchable. So you could find that story for a very long time, and hopefully it's a positive one. And it also helps with your search engine optimization for your website. It could help with backlinks and things like that. So that's the main thing. And then owned media is becoming more and more popular because people don't want to pay the big ad dollars. Sometimes they get frustrated with PR because they can't control the message, and you have to basically wait for the media to cover your story. So with owned media, you become the publisher. You as the organization could say, I'm going to have a blog on my website. I'm going to author some contributed articles in publications that I don't have to wait for the reporter to write the story, but we'll pitch the story, we'll write it, and we actually get a byline. So we do a lot of that because it's really effective. And you don't have to, again, wait on getting the story covered. You have a little bit more control. And it's not, there's no cost to the organization. Sometimes there's something called sponsored content where they want you to pay for the article. But there's some publications don't require that. So it's a matter of a good PR professional can help you find the right publication and the right editor to get your contributed article in. So that's a lot of paid content, content they call it content development. Like I said, blogging. Sometimes you can get your blogs published on other blogs. LinkedIn is a great source. I know, Shantha, you're a big proponent of LinkedIn and teaching folks how to use LinkedIn. And, you know, they have that long-form content where you can publish a post on LinkedIn and get attention. And how many eyeballs, you know, if you have over several thousand followers on LinkedIn, it's a way to push out your message and they see it. So LinkedIn is a great resource as well for own content.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, one of the things that I'm seeing a lot of as I survey small business owners, and I teach a lot of workshops, and I get the chance to get in front of hundreds of small business owners a month, on a typical month. And one of the things that I ask often is, do you have a blog? Are you blogging? Do you have a blog associated with your website? Are you using LinkedIn to get, content out there in blog form? And it's less and less. I'm getting less and less people who actually value blogging. And I don't know what the change is, what the shift's all about, but I'm dumbfounded because you do get all the benefits. Not only are you establishing yourself as an authoritative thought leader, you're also getting the SEO benefits of blogging, and you're putting out your content that's linking back to your own asset, digital asset, whether it's your website or your LinkedIn profile. So it's just, you know, a benefit all around. But in my perspective, I'm seeing less and less blogging out there. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think maybe people are using LinkedIn more for their own blogging, you know. I think part of it is it's another thing to do. So it could be time consuming, and people just feel like, oh, I have to then now blog. Some people have all kinds of issues around, you know, writing and, well, what if I say something, what is it really going to mean? It's been said already. I remember, this was several years ago, I myself was struggling with blogging, and I actually hired a firm, even though here I am a writer, and I'm very comfortable writing about different industries and learning about all different things and writing on their behalf. It's hard to, like, do it for myself. So I actually hired this company, and their whole focus was they would interview you, record you talking about a topic, and then put together this blog for you based on questions that, you know, you would answer. And it would get people, it kind of, you know, made you accountable, and it got people to blog, and they did this a lot in the legal field and the accounting field, and I don't know if I was one of the few PR people. But it was really good because it made me do it, and it came out like twice a month. And so I think that's part of it, that people are like, well, what am I going to write about? It's another thing to do. But you're right that, you know, I had this one client, and they were talking about the fact that they don't want to get their information on this other blog. They'd rather put it on their own blog because they get the SEO, they get the link backs, and I think it's undervalued. And, you know, more and more I've heard, I don't know if this is still the case, but, like, you know, Google wants these longer form blogs. It used to be you mm-hmm. write 300 to 500 words. But correct me if I'm wrong, but it's now like they want more in-depth articles,
yes,
like 1,000 to 1,500 words, and to provide content that, you know, that's useful. So all I can think of is, you know, some people just have hesitancy about writing, but they could use a PR firm, they could use a social media firm. There's tons of tips about, you know, how to blog. You know, you could repurpose, like, even myself, you know, I'm thinking about that, is just repurposing blogs and putting a new spin on them. And then, you know, it's interesting that I used to feel the same way, that, oh, what would I say about PR that hasn't been said before? But you can never hear it too many times, and there's always a kernel of wisdom that you can share with someone that might make a difference and might help somebody.
Absolutely. Well, Wendy, this was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. I am confident that our listeners will be able to take all of this information we discussed and take their marketing to the next level with public relations. Before I let you go, I wanted to find out if you have any nuggets, maybe three real quick nuggets or takeaways that you want to share with listeners.
Well, for PR, I would say think a lot about what I call, like, it's almost like a pre-PR, where you're thinking about, you know, what are the two or three messages about your company that you really want to get across to either readers or viewers or whatever. Think about your customers and polling them and asking them questions about, you know, what are the two or three major benefits of your product or service. So, you know, asking them if you could maybe use them as a testimonial. Doing some practice, you know, starting out small with your, like, local papers, community papers. Maybe there's so many avenues, like even just this is a great avenue, Shanta, to talk about what you do. And so there's so many podcasts and business podcasts that really that are available to you that you may not even realize, where you can just for free, you know, get an opportunity to talk about your business. So really tap into that. Here in Atlanta, we have Business X Radio and different communities, and we have Shanta, you know, your broadcast. So I think that's another good thing, is to start local and just practice and just do it. and like
awesome.
You said before, do the blog if you can, even if you start once a month. You don't have to be that ambitious, like once a week, but maybe write 12 different topics and then write them all at one time, and then each month distribute them. So break it into small pieces. That's the other thing.
Great tips. Now, Wendy, where can we find you online?
Sure. Well, we have a website. It's Alpine PR, so that's ALP as in Peter, INE, PR.com. And then you can also reach us by phone at 404-641-6170. And you will not get an automated message. You will probably get me who answers the phone. So I'm always happy to help and share advice and help companies increase their brand awareness.
Awesome. I love that personal touch you offer.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate you shedding some light on public relations. I love PR, and I sort of romanticize it in my mind. It was kind of a choice when I was in college. I chose journalism, but I've always thought about having a career in PR. I love what you do, and I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, and yes, I look forward to your success, and this is a great opportunity for folks to talk about their what they do and the purpose behind it. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Did you enjoy this interview with Wendy Alpine? Are you planning to start your own PR campaign? Are you trying to get media attention? Has this interview helped you at all? Please send your feedback to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Also, send in your questions. I love to answer questions on digital marketing, branding, social media marketing. Send in your questions to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Today in our Ask Shanta segment, we are going to cover a few things people don't tell you about social media marketing. So one of the things I wanted to discuss is there being shortcuts or hacks. I see a lot of things online, a quick way to get followers or how to pay for Twitter followers or, you know, a quick way to get a million Instagram followers. But those are in fact scams. A lot of them are. The main thing people don't tell you about social media is that there are really no shortcuts or hacks. I'm sure you've heard that social media is a marathon, not a sprint. I've heard that before. Growing an authentic, engaged following relies on research and analysis. It also lies in getting to know your audience and testing. None of this stuff happens overnight. The only way to guarantee success is through being consistent and having a strong social media strategy. You can't pay for valued followers. You can't grow your Facebook page overnight. It is really a marathon. It is not a race. Also, social media marketing can be very tedious. It's time-consuming. A lot of people may think that social media marketing is just about throwing a picture with a cute caption online, but you're in a rude awakening if you think that's the case. A good social media marketing is constantly analyzing, adjusting, learning, reconfiguring, and it's so much more involved than just throwing up a meme. You can throw in creating content with being a social media marketer, working out when to post, what to post, and if it actually makes sense, if the content makes sense for your target market. All of this really involves testing. It really is a job with many facets, and it's the furthest thing from simply posting cute little updates and articles that make sense. There's a lot of testing involved. Also, a big or fast-growing following isn't always a measure of success. I tell people all the time, I would rather have 7 likes on my Facebook page and in turn have effective Facebook ads running that are reaching thousands and thousands of people in my target market. There's a difference between having a million Facebook likes, having low engagement, and not reaching your target market. Total different thing. So this is why you can't compare your brand to others as well. Maybe you're looking at someone else's Twitter following and seeing that they have 100,000 likes. You don't know if those likes are valuable to that particular business. You're only seeing the outermost shell of what's actually happening behind the scenes. Success lies in many different factors, and it's defined differently for each brand. It's important to be clear on your short and long-term goals. This is why it's important to have a strategy. You need to figure out what your goals are. What are you trying to achieve with social media? And stay focused on what you're doing and whether your efforts are delivering the results you want. Always checking the results, always testing and checking back to make sure you're actually achieving the goals that you set out to achieve. What's more valuable, 50,000 followers or 5,000 who actually engage with you and will go on to become actual paying customers? The numbers don't always tell the tale. So I wanted to share those things. I think people do have a misconception about social media marketing, and those are a few things maybe people aren't telling you, especially about their own following. So don't forget to check out the Up to Me Radio Facebook page for show updates. You can also check out our show on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes, and you can find out how to reach me directly at www.competitivebrand.com. Thank you so much for listening. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you have decided to spend your time here with me, and I truly appreciate you for that.